Hey, dude.
Let me call you back.
Hey, Ken. If you're okay, will you just say okay so that I know you're okay? Because otherwise, I'll have to break the door down, and I don't know if I'll be able to. Okay. Action stations.
P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. One episode per day, see. P to the OD. Cast on the daily about Succession. Podcasting like a pro, make some noise.
Succession is almost over, but we're just getting started talking about every single Succession episode here on Post Show Recaps on the daily Succession podcast on Post Show Recaps. We are watching and talking about every single episode of Succession on the road to the final season premiere on March 26th, going episode by episode and day by day, or in the case of today, double day. We'll talk about that in a second. You can get commercial-free versions of this podcast when you sign up at patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. That's patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level for the ad-free versions of the Succession podcast. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wigler. Today, we are talking about the season three premiere of Succession. Succession. Action stations, everybody. Jess Sterling, Grace Leader.
Oh,
no
hi.
Comment. No comment.
Are we going to say what we think, or are we going to say what we like really think on this
let's
podcast?
Talk about, I think we should say what we really think.
Okay.
On our podcast. I feel like we should tell people what we really think. Here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Dad's effed.
I think Dad's in trouble. I think Dad might be in big trouble here. I think Dad might be in big trouble. I don't know what's up with Kendall too, but there's a lot going on with Kendall here as we are resuming the story after a fairly significant layoff between seasons two and three in real time. It was about a 2-year break between season two's finale, This Is Not for Tears, October 2019, and Succession on October 2021. I don't know why there would have been this big year gap, this 2-year gap. Between the seasons. I have no idea what that could be about. And yet there is this gap. We don't have to wait. We go straight from the season two finale into talking about the season three premiere here on the Daily Succession podcast. To clarify the double daily that we teased earlier, we told you about this in the season two finale podcast for season three's first two episodes, both dropping today in your podcast feed. Mass and Time of War episode 2 shall be dropping shortly after the Succession podcast, so keep an eye out for that. We are getting you two episodes for the price of one today as the Succession podcast continues its march just towards March 26th. So close.
Woo! We are almost here. I'm
almost
so
there.
Excited. Whoa. I can't wait.
Oh my goodness, Grace. It's so close.
It's so close. But this is the first episode of Succession that we all did together as a little team, which is very cute. So it's very memorable for
memories.
Me in that. Yeah. Boy, how can someone who's doing the right thing be so insufferable while they're doing the right thing?
It's amazing. It's amazing. So I think that one of the great things in the off season between seasons two and three is you're like, oh yeah, White Knight Kendall finally doing the right thing, taking out Dad. I cannot wait to root for Kendall Roy in his quest against Dad. And immediately he bursts out of the bathroom as an insufferable bastard. So I guess like the Logan cloning has still taken hold, and a lot of the old self-righteous cracked out Ken is here as well, and it is a mood and probably one that I imagine Jess Sterling is not a huge fan of.
I hate it so much.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, which would be great for Carl. He's very hungry.
He is. He needs a sandwich. Get this guy a sandwich. Yeah. Saliva and adrenaline. That's what we've been eating for the last 20 days as we've been doing these daily Succession podcasts. So, gosh, I too could use a sandwich. Oh, I could really
go there's
for
a lot of that. Let me tell you, there's a lot of talk of food in this episode. Frank is called mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh.
A lot of talk of Logan is toast.
They're trying to get the raisin on the line.
Ooh, they can get the raisin and the toast together, and that would be pretty tasty.
No, I don't
see Latanya coming on for Yellow Jackets versus Succession. It's writing itself. We're getting a little cannibalistic
about making bones to bread into bread.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Bean stalks, I imagine.
Bean
sprouts.
Stalks?
Yeah.
Just beans. Anyway, we could be talking about food, or we could be talking about Secession, the season 3 premiere, which sets up absolutely everything that is to come in the resulting 8 episodes. A 9-episode season here for Secession season 3. Mm-hmm. Let's do the quick plot recap. Jess, tell us what happens in Secession.
Season 3, episode 1, Secession. Everybody action stations. We waste no time hopping back into the action of the season 2 finale as Logan is escaping to Sarajevo, where there are no extradition treaties. He knows he can't remain the face of the company under this much heat, but that won't stop him from naming a new CEO to use as a puppet. Frank is mashed potatoes, and Carl's hands are only clean from the manicures he gets at brothels, so the options are Shiv, Roman, or Jerry. Shiv is assigned to retain her old friend Lisa Arthur as Logan's lawyer, but she's too little, too late, as she already agreed to represent Kendall, and that is enough to knock Shiv out of contention for CEO. Her romantic life isn't looking so hot either, as she repeatedly tells Tom she loves him with no reciprocation. Roman ruins his own chances at CEO by saying he wants the gig and then immediately saying, you know, I'd be okay if you'd rather put an old hen like Jerry in the position first until I'm ready. His lack of confidence is enough for his father to say, he's out. Jerry it is! Meanwhile, instead of making real plans with Lisa Arthur on how to avoid implicating himself and damaging the company for the upcoming shareholder meeting, cocky Kendall is too focused on his Twitter being off the hook and assigning Greg the duty to slide the socio-political thermometer up the nation's ass and take a reading. He can't go back to his office at Waystar, so he's forced to set up shop in Rava's house, where he tries his best to recruit Shiv and Frank to his side, while also nagging Rava about the men's razors in her bathroom. Greg is still working with Kendall, loving his time in the spotlight, yelling no comment at reporters and comparing their drive away in the Raystar SUV as like OJ, but if he never killed anyone. The juice is loose, baby. But will Kendall have the follow-through to take down his father? We'll find out. And that was the season 3 premiere of Succession.
Who said I'd never killed anybody?
Oh, that's so the most uncomfortable line in all of Succession, I think. The little smile on Jeremy Strong's
when
face.
When he says that, the juice is loose, baby. Wow.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Kendall is on one. We spent a lot of time during our season 2 conversations observing how Kendall has been zombified. He's walking around like one of the walking dead. And here, you know, after having tried to find as many things as he could that would bring him back to life, he has been electrified by outing his dad the way that he has and blasting him publicly and getting all of this feedback that he is a folk hero. He truly is. Now everyone knows which side he is on, as he is on the union worker side here. Kendall, a man of the people, and it is landing with him like it is the I forget exactly the language he used in Dundee about the type of sexcapades he was on with Jennifer, but it feels like that's the same exact energy he's bringing to this, Jess.
Oh, like the Lewis and Clark of
Epping? Yes, he's like the Lewis and Clark of taking down big corporate giants. He is Jack. His father is the giant at the top of the beanstalk, and he's hacking this thing down, and everybody better get out of his way.
Well, last episode, when I talk about the press conference, I'm like, the press conference is so perfect. Like, it's so well done, because he says this line in there about, you know, those of us who also are implicated or whatever, like, that's for another day. And so at least acknowledging that, like, other people are involved in this. It can't be, it's not singularly Logan Roy, but Logan is the head of the snake, so we're going to cut off the head of the snake immediately. Lisa, he's like, yeah, I would like to not be implicated. I'd like to run the company. And you're like, this is bad. This is so bad. This is bad. Just get out. Just kill your dad and get out. That's classic. That's the motto you got to live by.
Yes.
This episode, he's just like, he's so, when Rava is like, when he's like, have you watched it? She's like, no, I haven't got it. He's like, you should watch. Really, I did it for you and the kids. I'm like, oh, it's so gross. Yeah, it's so gross.
It's a Walter White moment. Like, it's the, like, all of this was for you. And it's like, it absolutely was not. And he's like, he really is like a pig in you know what, just like rolling around, feeling himself. And it's unbearable. None of this is for the greater good. None of this is for any such like type of morals. All of this is because he wants his time in the spotlight. He wants to stick it to his father. And he wants the company for himself. And so it's not about taking down Waystar, taking down Logan. It's solely about taking down Logan and having him get a taste of his own medicine.
Well, the trick about it's not about taking down Waystar Royko, because they also got to make sure that the takeover doesn't happen. So it's not about taking out Waystar Royko. It's about taking out specifically Logan Roy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, this is the delicate dance that he's talking about with Lisa Arthur, the high-powered lawyer who he hires after Logan had coveted her first. In talking to her, he wants to get into a situation where his dad is taken out, but he doesn't implicate himself and the company is okay, and he doesn't want any sort of illegality washing back on him. The kinds of things that Kendall is hoping to accomplish here, it's a high degree of difficulty. And so I think you leave season two with the possibility of like, hell yeah, finally, one of the Roys is doing the right thing and is actually going to, like, you know, family be damned. I'm going to blow up my life because this is going to be better for the world. And this guy is a monster. And whatever happens to me, it doesn't matter. I don't cry for me. I'm already
dead. No woman, no cry, you know?
You know, no woman, no cry. Exactly. And instead, I think what ends up happening, gosh, I wish there was like a good Bob Marley song to retort this with. It is not redemption song. How about that? Instead, this is like a big glory thing for Kendall very quickly, where he snaps back into, it was always supposed to be me. I've got the ideas. I know what to do. I'm going to lead this thing into the right direction in the future. We're going to make movies about this. They're going to sing songs about us. It's going to be incredible. I think that there was a vibe when this episode dropped that this was really disappointing for a bunch of people. We talk about the con heads, but the Ken dolls out here, really disappointed that this was the direction the show was going to go in with Kendall, that it was clearly going to be this sort of manic move that he ended up making here at the season three premiere. Grace, after we've watched all of these episodes in such quick succession, what do you think about that? Do you feel like this is consistent with the Kendall that we have been watching? Is this the only way that this could have gone based on the two previous seasons?
No, I do think this is incredibly true to the character. I think there's a little bit of when this happened, like, I think this is like starting to when I feel like, I think even before we started podcasting, of like, well, what's the runway on this show? What are they thinking? And I feel like where I think some people reacted to the season one premiere is that it felt like, well, yeah, this is obviously like, you can't have Kendall be out because the part of the thing of the show is that they all want to be the successor to their father, right? And so now this is Logan's way of being able to do that without Logan actually choosing him. I think that there was some frustration there of like, it felt a little like, I guess, like wheel spinny to create more plot and tension rather than like looking for, you know, the runway on what might happen. I do think it's incredibly in character, because I think the magic trick of the show is making you empathize with somebody only, you know, a scene later, an episode later, to be like, just kidding, they're terrible. They're all bad. You know, we're like so swept up in the moment of Kendall making the press conference announcement, only the next episode to be like, oh, he's still bad. He's like, just because he had one good moment does not mean he's like, you know, his hands are clean. Unlike Carl's, who are clean. So I think it's fascinating, and also sets up, I think they do a really good job, I think, of the scene with Frank, Carl, and Tom. And Tom is very quiet in the scene, and I want to plant a flag on Tom listening in as Frank and Carl. Yeah, we hear for you as Frank and Carl go through all the scandals. And it's very funny. This is like, I think the thing that the show does really well is that it's both hilarious and tragic, because they're talking about like the naming all the different scandals they've had.
The tabloid suicides, nearly went kablooey after Argentina, the Tiananmen accommodations, the black cloud after Sally Ann.
They're all named. They're named perfectly. They're said so funny that these are the scandals. And yet it all proves that like they all sound really bad. And Logan Roy still is on top. He is a beast, as he says. He's going to
come back kid.
Effing beast at the end of the episode.
Yeah, I love it when Carl looks at Frank before all that. He's like, is this the worst?
That was like us trying to rate the Roys before. Yeah. I believe it was before season three.
Is this the worst?
Is this the worst?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question indeed.
You came here for what?
No, just the press. They're swarming mine. And I need a hidey hole for meetings. Plus, I actually wanted to see you and the kids. You know, I kind of like, it was kind of for you guys.
Yeah, well, Hey, I didn't see it, but I've been up against it at work, but people are saying you did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine, whatever. You might want to watch it. You might want to.
Let's do this character by character. We will, of course, talk through the whole episode this way as we are rating the Roys, asking you to participate. Go to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy or postshowrecaps.com/actionstations. Form up those action stations with us. We rate all the Roys. We're rating the episodes. We're tracking other things as well. But beginning, let's stay with Kendall Jess, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that he is in the state that he is in, it seems like at least in the war between Kendall and Logan right now, Kendall begins this season with momentum.
Yeah, he is the one who is currently on top in that his father is literally fleeing the country. And because of
Sarajevo,
what...
also. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so Kendall is the one who is currently in the country and seems to hold the cards, right? He has the documents, or so he says, and he seems to be in a place of power. But it takes that one single phone call from Logan where he says, I'm going to grind his effing bones to make my bread. And Kendall is immediately thrown off. He's like, tell him I'm going to run up the effing beanstalk. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He's really thrown off. He's attempting to recruit some people. He's attempting to recruit Frank. And it's so obvious from, 10 minutes into the episode that Kendall's not doing this because of he wants to be a good person. He's doing it to get back at his dad. And all he really cares about is, oh, is my Twitter off the hook? F the weather. We're changing the cultural climate.
Getting the lampoon back on the line. He loves the lampoon. He made the lampoon.
And this reminds me of, and we talked about this episode where him and Frank go to meet with, I think it's Dust is the company, and he buys these like cheesy sneakers. Yeah. He tries to be very cool in front of them. And this is the same exact kind of thing here.
What do you mean tries?
Yeah, he's super cool.
He's so cool.
Cool tweets. But yeah, he's like an ass, right? He's a total ass in this episode. And it just goes to show that like this is really a half-baked plan. He doesn't have the full plan in place. He's smart enough to recruit Lisa right away and kind of get her on his side, but he doesn't take the time to actually sit down with her and come up with an action plan that is going to accomplish all of the things he wants to accomplish, which seems very difficult to do. So yes, while Kendall is in a good-ish position, what he's doing with his good positioning is not great, in my opinion. I'm giving him a 2. I could be swayed to go higher than that, just given the position he's in. I want to throw it out there, you know?
Yeah.
I could be swayed to go higher on him, but I just feel like it's so obviously he's like royally screwing this up from the get.
Yeah.
Royally
screwing this up. I ended up giving him 3. I went with 3 for Kendall, and that one point is docked by the state of Kendall, which is clearly troubling. It's very clearly troubling. The way that he's, you know, treating some of the people around him already is sort of, you know, what he's fighting against, allegedly. I feel like, you know, Rava clearly upset that this wine from her godfather has been opened. But
that's brutal. That was so brutal.
It reminds you that nothing lasts, right? You know, it's one of those beautiful things that breaks.
I love Rava.
She's great. She's great. Yeah. And so his reaction to that, rather than be like, Greg, could you like stay out of her stuff, is look at us. Look, two beautiful women. God. Must be doing something right. Am I right, Greg? Greg's like, you're doing everything right.
You're doing everything right.
So, you know, he's got a lot of that going on, but he is making snap judgments, quick decisions, no time to waste. He wasted all of his available time in the bathroom, in the tub, doing
more water.
More water, of course. Breathing heavily, a guttural exhale, according to the closed captioning.
I saw that one. Yeah,
guttural exhale. Another band name, Grace, that I think could be pretty good.
Yeah.
He kills Carolina. He sends her out to the mob. Yeah. Like, I can't have these weevils in my flour sacks, and so he throws her out of the car. I think even what he's envisioning when he's describing, I'm running up off the effing beanstalk. He's out, you know, he is outracing the fee-fi-fo-fum is what he's saying. Jack wins that story, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if the Grimm brothers did. Was this a Grimm brothers thing, Grace?
Oh,
it's probably
know.
Pretty twisted in real life.
Yeah,
I think it was.
If it's a Grimm brothers one, I don't think any of
them. Then the beanstalk like collapsed on Jack and he's like leveled his whole family and his town and everything like that, probably. Yeah. But he's like, he is envisioning himself this folk hero that is running this game. And at least right now, he's doing it. He is making contact with the people he needs to make contact with. We've got this media team that is showing up and joining up with Kendall Barry Schneider in the house. Comfrey as well. That's the name, by the way. So just to say Comfrey is here. And they're doing all the media monitoring. And they're, you know, they're trying to throw out their ideas. He just like won't hear them.
Do you need the tweets? I have the tweets. Do you need the tweets? Are they all on the internet? Yeah.
The headline has to be F the weather. We're changing the cultural climate. Kendall's got them locked up. He's got Lisa Arthur locked up. He kicked Carolina out of the car, but he's got Jess Jordan on Kendall's phone locked up. Kendall is arming and amassing himself for this war, even though next episode is Mass and Time of War. And I think that he does a very good job of getting that all on his side. It's just the way he's doing it is pretty repellent. Gosh, but I don't know. Grace is probably going to talk me into a four, would be my guess.
No, I'm the lowest on Kendall.
See, what?
Really?
Yeah, I give him a one. He's so this is like me in front of a toolbox. All the, you know, my dad could give me the nicest toolbox, all the nicest tools. I'd be like, cool. I do not know what to do with this. You know, it's like he does. I give him 1 point for like securing Lisa Arthur and securing the media company. But he's not listening to them. He does tell Lisa Arthur he'll be his puppet. But even that is like, I feel like that's not true. He's not going to be the puppet. So he's not listening. I feel like he's a really bad, both professional and personal episode. The way he tries to lure Shiv in is by like lullabying her on the phone. Both of her siblings are so awful to her on
Shivy,
the phone.
Shivy, Shivy.
Yeah, I don't like it. He does get all the right, he gets all the pieces, but I don't really trust he's going to be able to use any of them correctly because he's just, and I hate that he has set himself up with people who feed him this ego. Like, I want Rabba so much in that moment to like give him a truth bomb of like, you're not the folk hero. Like, you need to like, you need to be careful here. Whereas like, but like she doesn't, and she doesn't have responsibility to, it's her ex. And then Greg and Naomi, like Greg being like, you're doing all the right things. Naomi being like, but what if you are the best person in the world? And I'm like, this is so bad for Kendall. This is so bad. He's like, might be on the top of the mountain, but it's slippery up there.
Yeah, I'm going to give him 4 points. He's at the top of the mountain right now. And he might be the best person in the world. So I'm going to give Kendall Roy 4 points.
Oh, my gosh.
I reverse. What does he tell this to Roman? When Tom comes in and says, like, I like Jerry. He's like, are you reverse black spotting her or whatever? Yeah. Did I just like do that? But
you did it.
I told you you might convince me to go for it.
I want to stay on Kendall's side of the line, so let's go to Cousin Greg. Cousin Greg had a chance to get out of the car. Jess, he said, I'm gonna take a ride with these guys, and here he is, media manager Gregory the Eggery, checking out all of the Twitter Eggeries and making sure the culture is on Kendall's side.
I love Greg this episode. Him screaming no comment for Carolina to be like, you don't have to say no comment. You could just not say anything. And yeah, he's in charge of Kendall's tweets. A Pope follows you. A Pope, not the Pope. Greg is just trying to find his place, right? Like he's already done it. He has sided with Kendall. He told Kendall about the papers. And now he's forced to continue on with that. And I love this conversation. He's trying to like flirt with Comfrey, the media woman that Kendall is hired. And he's like, my mom is just like panic buying Nutribullets. I got her a gold card because I thought, that's a nice thing for a son to do. Greg is in a decent spot here. At the very least, he is very high up in Kendall's estimations, right? He's one of the only ones on Kendall's side at the moment. He's even though he is tied to Kendall, who I don't think is like necessarily doing well at the top, he's still with Kendall at the top. I ended up giving Greg a 3 probably one more point than I should have, and it's mostly because he cracks me up so much in this episode.
I want to give a shout out to the marketing that came out between season two and three, hyping up season three, which was it's Kendall and Logan leading the way down the hall with different, and there was multiple different versions that you might find
where
different people are either sort of on Kendall's side or on Logan's side. I think very interesting to sort of like track these like the sides of the war here throughout season three. And yeah, Greg firmly on Kendall's side. I give him points. I want to rate him pretty high because I don't know that like he necessarily, I mean, I say this thing a lot of like, you know, if you get in, but you're in with the losing side, then I feel like I need to dock you points. I don't, you know, as much as I think like Kendall's side is bad, I also, we haven't talked about Logan. Well, like Logan's side doesn't seem great. Neither side seems particularly great at the moment. And so I don't know. I give Greg a three. I mean, I dock him 1 point for opening up the bottle of wine. And even that he was told to by Naomi. So.
Yeah. I also gave Greg a three because he is not the cultural icon that is Kendall Roy. So he doesn't get that full four. Mm. And also it could be potentially a little shaky here on Team Ken. But Greg has really threw in his lot. So if we track Greg's recent moves were to turn down $250 million and get in deeper with Logan Roy. And now that he went deeper in with Logan Roy, who is currently in control of Waystar, he has decided he'll go with the Splinter faction that is even less reliable right now. So is Greg making positive changes to his life? Are they lateral or are they like lateral towards the abyss? I'm not so sure, but we're having a fun time watching Cousin Greg as it's happening.
Yeah,
he's so fun. He's so enjoyable. Greg.
That's everyone on Kendall's side.
Oh yeah, right.
The rateable characters, worth noting. Will that always be the case? We'll see. But right now, it's Kendall and Greg. And I think if we're sort of tiptoeing towards the middle a little bit, well, first of all, Marsha ineligible in this episode, and I don't think that she looms terribly large in this episode in the way that she did massively in the season two finale. She is name checked alongside a couple of shareholders that it seems like. I wasn't sure if I totally clocked this. Maybe you did, but Ewan Laird, Marsha, Josh Aronson, and Caroline, Kendall's mother, are mentioned as people that they've made contact with and seem to be supportive of Kendall, right? I think that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's big news that Marsha is apparently Team Kendall, is Team Kendall's read on the situation right now.
Ewan is the interesting one too. I know, because he was not with Kendall on the boat, the proxy.
Correct.
But I guess then all the stuff comes out. So
speaking out in the way that he's speaking out might be.
Well,
might
plus
be
a... also Greg is on Kendall's side.
Correct.
So there's that.
Yes.
But Greg is disinherited.
That's true.
But still.
But Marsha could drift towards Team Kendall, I guess is the point, is how this is set up. I think the next person who seems like they're a little bit in their own country is Siobhan. Siobhan is back in New York. Shiv is, you know, on the phone with Tom on the PJ saying, yes, I want it. Yes, I want it. Tom is fighting on her behalf. When she lands in New York and she is sent on this hit mission, basically go to Lisa Arthur and secure her services, she goes and she was going to fail on this one anyway, but she fails on a potentially even more embarrassing level, Grace, that she's going to Lisa Arthur, her friend, who is this highly powerful attorney, and is going to enlist her services for herself as she tries to figure out what her moves are. Lisa Arthur's already Team Kendall, and Siobhan has been frosted out of the CEO role as well.
For me, the thing I think that is the most damning for Shiv here is the way she treats her friend when she gets told, like, no. Like, I get that it feels like a betrayal that probably, you know, from Lisa Arthur's point of view, like, as a friend, you might want to give Shiv the heads up that, like, you know, like, represent her brother, you know, see maybe where she is in the whole thing, you know. Doesn't do that. But Shiv is just like, I think that for me, the entitlement of all of these kids really comes through in this episode. Maybe not so much. No, you know what? He seems like he really wants to F Jerry, and he seems like he's entitled to do that.
Yeah.
So,
I'd lay you badly, but I'd lay you gladly.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously we've seen it with Kendall. We see it with Shiv that, like, when her friend, so-and-so friend, the first time we're ever seeing this character on the show, I don't think she was in her bachelor party.
Listen, yeah, I was going to say, we haven't seen any of that.
Yeah. just the way she treats her afterwards. And it's just a really bad look for Shiv this week. I, you know, in terms of like saying, I love you to Tom, he doesn't reciprocate. She doesn't get the deal done. You know, Kendall is persuading her, but I don't know. And I think a big discussion point at the end of this episode was, where's Shiv going? She's turning a car around, a kind of a cliffhanger type thing. So I think I'd give her a zero. I'll bump it up to a one just because Kendall is trying to persuade her, but I think she's a really bad episode.
Yeah, I am pretty much in lockstep with you, Grease, in that I gave her a one simply because she has mobility and that she has the ability to move to Kendall's side if that's what she wants. She is coveted by Kendall. And for me, that gets her a one, despite the fact that she really does. I mean, like you said, she couldn't have gotten Lisa, even if, you know, Lisa was already on retainer with Kendall. There's nothing she could have done at that point. But it still looks really bad to her father, who asked her to do this favor, right? She's in contention for CEO. She is unable to fulfill her duties and is swiftly knocked off of that pedestal. So yeah, I also gave her a one for those exact reasons.
Wow. You two really don't like Shiv this episode. Tom likes Shiv. Tom also likes Jerry. Tom likes Jerry. Tom likes Rome.
Okay. You said earlier, oh, Tom's vouching for, like, he calls her, right? He calls her and she's like, yeah, I want it. And he's like, that's why I'm calling you. And then he gets in the room and Logan calls out maybe what he's doing, but also maybe not what he's doing. Maybe he is just generally like, yeah, I think we should go with Jerry or Roman, not Shiv. Don't go with Shiv.
Yeah.
I don't know if I love her.
I'm following you both on the one train for Shiv. I think for Tom, I gave him a two. I gave Tom a two because he at least, he may be in the sinking ship, but he is in the room where it happens on the sinking ship. He has been invited into the inner sanctum of Logan Roy's dirty deeds. And here he is getting a vote. He has a voice in this room.
But Josh, he doesn't like it in the death pit.
He doesn't love it in the death pit. And yet here he is. And I think he's in a compelling position at the start of the season that he has just confessed to Shiv that he doesn't feel particularly great about their marriage. He has taken chicken off of Logan Roy's plate and eaten it directly in front of him and put the bone back on the plate. And now here he is, and Logan is asking him for his opinion directly in the same breath that he talks to Carl, Frank, Hugo, all these people he doesn't particularly like, but people who he leans on for these top level types of decisions. So I think Tom is in a dangerous, he might be on a bad boat, but he's in a great chair.
You don't want to be on a bad boat in the waste of Royco.
I know.
Right there.
Yeah. So I gave him two. I gave Tom two.
I also gave Tom two.
I gave him a three, actually. I don't know. I mean, I can't tell which side is worse to be on. I don't. I mean, Kendall, just because Kendall's being way more. I mean, oh, but Logan's a really bad guy. I don't know. I give Tom a three. I don't know that he does anything bad.
I think
this episode.
Yeah, I guess I feel like it's too soon to tell where Tom should be. Right? Like he does. He has the ear of Logan. But he also has a connection. I mean, I let me put this out there as a question. Because I, to be honest, I don't really remember the answer 100% throughout season three. There is a moment where Shiv and Tom have a conversation where they're talking about, did Kendall call you? Kendall's calling people. Did he call you? And Tom says, no, he didn't call me. Do we think that's true? Do we think he's being honest with Shiv?
I think we would have seen it. This is not so. I do think it's very worth pointing out that Jesse Armstrong, creator of the show, is consistently saying, you know, this is not a tricksy show. We kind of tell you what's going on. And I think that if Tom had received a call from Kendall, we would see the call being made.
Do you know what I realized? I said this very early on that Succession is a very cards on the table show, except the finales. The season finales, I think they do withhold information to surprise you. I feel like in season one, I can't remember exactly what that, but in season two, like we don't know. I feel like in a normal episode, we would see the conversation where Kendall decides to betray his father, essentially. And we would, the thing where we're like, what's up with when does Greg know, whatever. Like in a normal episode, we'd see that. But I think it's really effective that because we can trust them so much, I think, through essentially normally nine episodes of the season, that then when they play with us a little bit, it works really effectively. So I think, like, as we're setting back up in this fight, I don't think Tom is lying.
Yeah, I agree. And I think for season one, that would be everything that they were able to glean about the accident, you know, off scene. So when Kendall is summoned to Logan,
like they see a mirror, but you don't ever see a mirror. Right.
Yeah. No, I tend to agree. I also gave Tom a 2. I think he's positioned decently well, but it's still a little iffy for him. So I couldn't go higher than a 2.
Hey, Logan. Okay. Great. Okay, well, okay, well, yes. Yes. Sure, I'll let him know. I'll tell him. Thank you.
So?
It's me.
You're kidding.
It's me.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
It's actually you?
It's me, Shiv Blewett with Lisa.
Okay.
Jerry is the new CEO of Waystar Royco. Grace, it's not just on paper anymore.
It's not just on paper. Jerry's a great episode. I mean, for real, I give her a for real 4. Not that any of my other 4s have been fake. I'm not implying that. But a pretty good episode. I mean, once again, she's basically being a bit assaulted by Roman in a room, you know, and I, you know, it's this weird thing where like, she's not turning it down, but also like, you know, she is actually saying, no, everything we've done has been professional. That's not entirely true. I don't think the bathroom scene, I would say that wasn't entirely professional. But a good episode. I mean, the fact that Logan says on the airplane, like, I would prefer it to be one of my children. And he does not pick one of his children. Great news for Jerry.
Yeah.
Great.
Does that speak well of Jerry, Jess, or does that speak poorly of Shiv and Roman?
Like Jerry solely gets picked because Roman and Shiv F up, right? Like that is the reason that Jerry gets picked. But like.
She's more trustworthy than Frank. She's cleaner than Carl.
Well, that's the thing. There's something to be said for her even being in contention for it when she is not related to Logan Roy. And I just think even though the conversation with Michelle Ann doesn't really go super well, at the very least, like she has connections, right? She's close enough to Frank that she finds out from him when the live picking of the CEO is happening. She has a conversation with Roman, right? Like, still very close with Roman. I think she's a great episode. Regardless of if you think that Logan is going to do well or fare well in the situation, Jerry getting picked over a Roy child is massive. And so I gave her 4 points.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard not to give her full 4 for this one.
Josh, do you think that her conversation with the president went well? They don't really see, like, everyone's like, good job, Jerry. But it feels like it maybe didn't go that well. But, like, it didn't go that bad, but it doesn't go super well.
Yeah, it could have gone worse for sure. I think like it sounds like I think that the thing that they love about that call, and I think one of the things that must be humming in Logan's head when he's making the pick is of the three of them, and he needs to make this choice now because clearly the optics are bad for him to stay as CEO, is that she's the only one who is sent on an assignment that demonstrates willingness to kill. You know, on the call, she is saying, yeah, so could you just fire the deputy AG? Like, and she's like, well, our hands are tied. It's like, you could untie them.
I love, she says, you know, we want to keep our hands on it. She's like, well, you could just grab it.
Yeah, you could just grab it.
Just grab it.
Mm-hmm. We're not asking for any favors, but we're asking for favors. Yeah. So I think Jerry on the phone demonstrates the type of ruthlessness that Logan has probably seen from Jerry so many times over the years that she's close enough as family to take this on, that she just becomes the no-brainer choice. But in the same breath that I give Jerry 4 points, I got to give Roman 1. I think I can only give Roman Roy a single point in this episode. He does vouch for Jerry, but he has it sewn up. Literally in the room, it's Rome. And then Rome calls. And even in the first 10 seconds of the call, he's got it. Then they do the awkward thing that sometimes happens on a podcast too, where cross-talking occurs and Roman.
What? Yeah, no, what? No, you go. No, you go. You go.
Where Roman is like, oh, okay, you wanted to, no, you go, which is expertly done from Logan. I'm like, no, whatever you're about to do, I need to know. I need to know the full shape of this phone call. And the full shape of this phone call is Roman, who was 5 seconds away from being the next CEO of Waystar Royco, asks, he sketches an image of himself, Grace, as a baby bird being tucked into the wing of a mother hen. He's out.
I've never heard this. I've never heard this voice from you, Josh. It's very funny.
He's out.
Hello. He's a baby hen. You know,
he's a baby hen.
He's not a baby hen. He's a little chick.
A little baby chick.
I also gave him a one. It's so. You know what? I give him a
that
point. That phone
call's very funny. It's very
so
funny.
But I give him 1 point because I do feel like the phone call is like actual vulnerability from Roman, who I've talked about, his unwillingness to be vulnerable. Like, he is basically kind of telling his, like, I think he just, I feel so bad for him. I know I shouldn't feel bad for him, again, the magistrate of the show, because he just doesn't think he could do it. And it's like, so sad that he kind of thinks he can't do it, but he actually does have it. And then he basically, you know, loses the thing because he thinks he doesn't have it. It's so tragic. It's so good. It's so well written. Yeah, but I give him a one point. Only the singular point is because, like, I feel bad for him.
I was a little bit nicer to Roman, because I agree with what you're saying, right? Where, like, he is the reason that he doesn't become CEO. He is the sole reason he doesn't become CEO. But he has some really funny moments. And also, I think his allegiance, his alliance with Jerry, is helpful. Even though he is not CEO, he's really tight with the person who is. And I think that's valuable enough to bump me up from a 1 to a 2. But also, he has some really funny lines when he's on the phone with Shiv. Your friend doesn't like you, boo hoo, boo hoo. And dad wants to fire you, you hoo, you hoo. Uh-huh. It's so funny. It's so funny. And in the very, very beginning, when he asks, oh, dad, do you want me to ride with you? And Logan says, you want to suck my D?
Right.
And Roman's like, is what he said to his son as the sexual assault allegations poured in. And I cracked up. It's so funny. Roman gets a 2, and some of it is because his alliance to Jerry, and some of it is because he made me laugh really hard.
That's fair. Does anyone have a point to spare for Logan Roy in this episode?
Not a single one.
No,
he
so.
Can F right off. Absolutely not.
But that's fine, because he's just feasting on saliva and adrenaline anyway. He has no time for points. Yeah. No local points. If Logan gets the shits, we're F.
Yeah. Can I just say, I do think it's a very interesting last scene. He says, we'll go full effing beast. And he goes outside and he gets some air and he just looks pretty defeated, I think. Like, it's like maybe one of them, like, we've seen him like angry defeated. Obviously, when the Pierce stuff goes down, he's yelling at Nan Pierce through the window. This is just like sad old man, maybe doesn't have enough left in the tank, you know? And I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not empathizing with him, but I just think it's like a really interesting moment to leave the first episode of the season on, is like him and then him sort of like walking off, you know?
Big careful what you wish for vibes. I 100%. Think there's like, you know, you're not a killer, son. You need to be a killer. And finally he gets, you know, shot fatally potentially by Kendall Roy, and his initial instinct, if you still want to read that final look in season 2 that way, is attaboy. I can't believe you got it in you. But now here comes the other part of when you're not just killed cleanly. What are you going to do? Just lie down and take it, or are you going to fight for your life? And he is in sort of like the death rattle fight for his existence, and it's going poorly. It's going uncomfortably. He's talking a lot about his mom. He's fired his inner circle and rehired his inner circle multiple times. He is you know, bleeding out badly. And he already was pretty injured heading into the season 2 finale. So things have somehow gotten even worse. So it is really satisfying to see Logan really licking his chops in this episode, really licking his wounds. Not a point to spare for Logan Roy in the initial head-to-head, at least for season 3 of Kendall versus Logan. It's very clearly Kendall versus Logan. Kendall's got the point. I don't have any points to spare for Logan, but I have 2 divisions to spare for Connor, as it's going to be 2 divisions against the rest of the Balkans.
Do you know what? The moment when Willa is the one to be like, oh, hey, Logan, do you have like anything for? And he's like, oh, yeah, Con. Yeah, of course, my boy.
Yes.
Can you, man? He doesn't even give him a real job. What is his job?
He has to fly first class. That's his job.
Yeah.
Eat refrigerated cheeses.
He has to hold it down in the Balkans with Willa. Yeah. Basically, get out of my way.
Yeah. And then also he pitches this idea to Willow about the play, which is maybe we just go full on bad review, really memeify it, you know.
Yeah, hate watch.
It's a good thing. It's a good pivot.
It's not bad.
Not a bad pivot. I think it's one of Connor's better episodes. I'm giving him 2 points for sure.
You gave him 2 points?
I gave him 1 point.
Two divisions.
At least he has an idea about the play.
Yeah. Oh, see, I gave him 0 because anytime a Roy has to fly first class instead of on the PJ, not a good sign
That's a fair point.
So 0 points. Plus, it's pretty rude to pitch a hate watch to your partner on a play.
He's bleeding out. He needs that money.
So zero points for Connor.
Needs the money for sure. All right, let's do everything else that we are tracking, including the F-offs and the Ken dads. Two F-offs, they come back to back. It's war! F-off! And then he says it again. It's war! F-off! So a double F-off from Logan Roy. And then we get 3 Ken dads that all happen in the same breath, basically, when he is sitting down with Lisa Arthur. I guess Kendall talking a little bit less about his daddy. Daddy's favorite is very obviously Jerry, I think, with the pick of CEO. But who's dead? Who wins the Blank's Dead Award for this episode?
Well, to be fair, on the ride over, Frank got fired, then Carl got fired, Jerry got promoted, Frank got rehired, no mention of if Carl got rehired.
Carl's still there. Carl was pitching himself as CEO. He was in that conversation.
Right.
I forgot the manicure line, and I know we've already brought it up in the pub, but it's a really good
it's
insult.
It's really funny.
It's really good.
But is Frank dead because he's mashed potatoes?
No. Do you know who I think's dead is Rava's godfather, Wine.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Oh, no.
Rava's godfather.
That's a good call.
R.I.P. Do you have a eulogy for it ready, Grace, for the godfather's wine?
Just pour one out.
You could have been a contender.
The other really awkward scene is when Kendall tries to introduce Naomi to Rava, and Rava's clearly on the phone. There's nothing worse than being on the phone and someone trying to talk to you. I'm doing a thing.
I'm doing another thing. Yeah. Greg versus Tom, who's in a better position right now?
I love that they're on different sides. This is really fun. Essentially, they're like holed up in the different war rooms. So it's very interesting, Jess. I don't know.
I was going to say Greg just because I think he has more power currently in that he has the documents, right? And I think that is like a position of power. Knowledge is power. And so I would personally choose Greg in this moment. But I'm not like 100% on that side.
He did point out that Kendall was trending. Is it below or above Tater Tots? So
it's a little bit below, I think, or maybe right above.
That's very useful info to have. Yeah. I don't know. I kind of go draw, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it'll end up being a draw then because I think I'm Tom. I think I'm Tom because I think that Tom gets to have that conversation with someone as powerful as Logan Roy, who is finally of his own volition saying, like, not only do we need to line up the next CEO, it like has to happen quick. So, yes, this is actually happening. And Tom has the ability to really hard sell Shiv if he wants to. And he plays it the way that he plays it. It makes you feel like Tom's kind of got his own thing going on here a tiny bit. And I think that that's a really powerful feeling that he brings into that room on the other side of some other powerful demonstrations of independence that we've seen from him recently on the beach, then back on the boat. So yeah. I would vote Tom.
Okay, I am going to vote Tom because I think there is a level at which, like, I feel like Kendall's side has a little bit more, like, you know, ammo to it, and Logan obviously looks very defeated, but I do think there's just like a level of, like, you know, this, you know, low, I'm rating this on the succession scale, so, you know, but there's a seriousness to what's happening in Sarajevo that is not there, I think, in the apartment, and so I think I give Tom the edge, and so I give Tom the edge. I'll vote Tom.
Tom's got the first blood against Greg the Egg here in season 3. Rating the episode, I went with a 3.5 to give us some room to grow. Great score for a great episode. I think that the premieres are often, as they are on many an HBO show, a lot of setup and sort of laying the bedrock for where we're going to go next. I think it's a very exciting foundational episode of Succession season 3. I know that we have a bunch of bangers in the future. So I'm going to give it that 3.5 for right now. A scooch below the season 2 premiere. I think the season 2 premiere has a bit more of notes of devastation that really do it for me, more so than I think some of the mania of Succession season 3's premiere can be really stressful. And it feels like when you get on the other side of the premiere, I don't know if this is the same for either of you, it feels like, gosh, a lot just happened. And so like, I feel like when I leave this episode, spend a lot of time just like trying to like gather my thoughts about everything that just hit the wall.
Yeah, I do tend to agree. I think, like you said earlier, Josh, episode two, the one right after this, it feels kind of almost like a two-part premiere, in that, like, once we have the setup of episode one, we're off to the races with episode two, is kind of how I feel. And so I've rated every premiere the same amount, apparently. 3.5 for me. Every premiere has been a 3.5. And I think this is like, it's a good episode. Like, most episodes of Succession are pretty good. It's good, not great. So I give it a 3.5.
I initially added a 3.4, but then I do think that's exactly what I rated the series premiere. And I think this is stronger just with like how much investment we have in these people already. I think the idea, I get conflicted. I think in the same way that I think the audience was conflicted about that first episode, that you want so badly to come into this episode and be like, yeah, we're on Kendall's side. And it's bad, but I do think, like, again, a good episode of Succession. I don't think there's a bad episode of Succession, really. So I give it a 3.5. I think it's strong. It doesn't, maybe other than the Roman conversation, and even that one, I think it's very well acted and very well done. This is going to sound really weird, but nothing gives me that, like, the anxiety thing I want out of Succession, where it's like everything's coming to a head. So yeah, I rate a little bit lower than I normally do at a 3.5.
All right, 3.5s across the board here as we are entering season 3 of Succession. If you want to get involved, go to postshowrecaps.com/rateroy to send in all of your ratings for the characters, the episodes, and so much more. You want to make sure you never miss an episode of the Succession podcast, including episode 2, which is coming out a few hours after this episode drops. Go to postshowrecaps.com/succession for the RSS link. You search by URL, you plug that in. Hey, you found us. You could also go to Post Show Recap Succession wherever you get your podcasts if you want to just search that way in your podcast player of choice. If you want the commercial-free versions of the podcast, go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps at any level. Ad-free Succession podcasts for the entire final season, including these daily Succession podcasts. Next up on the podcast, just a couple of hours from now when we are dropping this, Mass in Time of War, dropping later today. That's the second episode, and I really do feel like it is the second part of the premiere. I think it's the answer to this first episode. I really view the two of these as a single piece. Really looking forward to talking Mass in Time of War. I'm at Ryan Howard, wherever you can find me. Grace, where can they find you?
I'm on the internet at Hi From Grace.
And Jess?
At the Jess Sterling.
All right, folks, that's it for us. We'll be back soon with Mass in Time of War. Until then, F off!
P to the OD. Cast on the daily.